If you had $19 billion to buy real estate, what would you buy? A bunch of empty warehouses? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The world's largest private equity firm, Blackstone, is spending about $19 billion on warehouses. Blackstone is buying them from a Singapore company called GLP. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer is following this. Nancy, that's a lot of money to spend on warehouses.
It sure is. In fact, David, Blackstone says this is the biggest ever global private real estate transaction. Warehouses may sound boring, but they're actually really valuable right now. The Wall Street Journal reports Amazon was GLP's biggest tenant. Blackstone says the deal with GLP will almost double its industrial holdings in the U.S., adding almost 180 million square feet to its portfolio.
And where are the warehouses?
Well, many of them are near urban areas, no surprise. And that makes sense because Amazon and other online retailers need to store stuff near their customers. That last mile to somebody's house is the toughest part of e-commerce. Blackstone is betting there will be even more demand for warehouse space as e-commerce grows, especially as free one-day delivery is becoming more popular. Blackstone says it's going to build up its portfolio to, quote, meet the growing e-commerce demand.
All right, Nancy, thank you. So is this the biggest private real estate deal of all time as claimed? We're scouring the history books this morning. As for public real estate transactions, it's still big in comparison. The 1803 Louisiana purchase cost about $250 million in current money. The U.S. bought Alaska from Russia for just $120 million, adjusted for inflation. Amid concerns about cybersecurity, the U.S. had banned telecommunications firms from buying equipment from Chinese technology company Huawei. Now some members of the U.S. Congress want similar attention paid to public transportation companies. Marketplace's Ben Bradford reports a Chinese state-owned company that's supplying railway cars to major U.S. subways has some experts worried about hacking.
Federal lawmakers from New York and Washington, D.C. are warning their transit agencies against accepting bids from the Chinese state-owned company CRRC. The concern is pretty simple, says Scott Paul, president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing.
It makes little sense to turn over the keys to a company that's directly controlled by the Chinese government.
The worry is that CRRC could spy or hack train control systems, says Andy Grotto at the Stanford Cyber Policy Center.
Modern commuter trains aren't just, you know, sort of metal boxes on wheels anymore. They're computers on wheels.
The Chinese company says these are conspiracy theories from the U.S. freight rail industry, which wants to legislate away prospective competition. Robert Puentes at the nonpartisan Eno Center for Transportation isn't convinced of a cyber threat.
It doesn't seem to be the most direct way to cause problems here in the United States.
He says the bigger threat may be economic. That CRRC is winning contracts with low bid prices, possibly subsidized by the Chinese government. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 0.4%. Dow and S&P futures also down 0.4%. The Nasdaq future down, let's call it 0.6%. A key benchmark for interest rates, the 10-year yield, down below 2.1% this morning. If you're a member of your local public radio station, we thank you because your support helps those stations keep programs like Marketplace on the air. But for Marketplace to really grow, we need additional investment from those who care most about what we do, superfans like you. Your donation helps us create more content that matters to you and your community and to reach more people where they are, whether it's radio, podcasts, or online. Become a Marketplace investor today at marketplace.org. And thank you. Younger generations tend to unfairly get flack for not being as hardworking as their elders. These days, older workaholics like to chide millennials for not wanting a life of uninterrupted grind. Well, today we have some data to support the thesis that millennials do approach work in a different way. A Marketplace Edison research poll found workers age 18 to 34 were more likely to rank flexible schedule and remote work opportunities as important in a job than workers 35 and older. From the Workplace Culture Desk, Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino looks at how younger workers are changing the equation for work-life balance.
Jenna Vassallo has a lot going on in her personal life these days.
Hi, lady. What are you doing? Do you want to get your kitty?
The 33-year-old Boston marketing manager has a one-year-old at home, so that's where she often needs to be. She works remotely 2 days a week and keeps flexible hours the other days.
It's very important to me. I do plan to stay where I am for quite a while because of that.
It's a big shift from her parents, who she says were always at work. But Jenna and her young peers are increasingly prioritizing work-life balance. Dan Schauble with HR firm Future Workplace says the firm's research shows young workers prize flexibility above all other employer benefits, including health care.
If a company wants you to work longer hours for no additional pay, there has to be a give.
As digital natives, he says, young people have come up in an always-on work culture, fueled by mobile devices and instant communication.
Oh my God, there's no 9-to-5 anymore. Like, it's a free-for-all. You know, work and life is integrated.
If young people are going to bring their work home with them, he says, they also want to bring their home life to work. That includes taking care of their well-being on the job, says 34-year-old Sean Callahan-Dinish. He's a college recruiter for a Fortune 500 company in Tampa, Florida, and says young people have higher expectations for wellness benefits like on-site fitness and meditation classes.
There's a lot more awareness, you know, growing up with the internet and then social media. I think that's allowed younger generations to be more in tune with health.
This generation has also been influenced by economic conditions. The high cost of living in many areas, combined with burgeoning student debt, has left young people with less buying power than previous generations. That's led many to value experiences over things. For Jason Connolly of Columbus, Ohio, that means prioritizing his family, pet, and favorite hobby.
My exercise is curling. I curl probably 2 or 3 nights a week, and that sweeping part is a workout.
He's chosen to pursue a career as a designer at a public university, where hours and time off are more flexible than in the private sector.
I feel like I've sacrificed perhaps more salary, perhaps, you know, driving a better car, living in a better house. However, I feel more whole as a person. We only get one life, right? Let's enjoy it.
Preferably with a nice slice of avocado toast. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
With that story today, we're launching our new reporting initiative on the culture of work. It's an ongoing beat, and we're starting with special coverage all week. You can find it at marketplace.org. This evening on Marketplace, Megan reports on political activism in the office. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.